Good evening, everyone. This is Ed Torrey with the Showwave Scanner. Listen in. We're going to stand by for an emergency or priority traffic before we continue this evening. Okay, nothing heard. Good evening, everyone. This is N210B, Charlie from Staten Island in New York City. I'd like to welcome you to the weekly Showwave and Scanner Listeners Net that's heard on the N2ROW link repeater system every Monday night, every Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. or as long as the members want to talk about things. The purpose of this net is to provide a general discussion forum for all those who are interested in different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. So that means anything you can tune into on various radios and television sets from DC all the way up to light and everything else in between except for amateur radio. We keep the amateur radio topics for other times during the week. So this is your refuge from that so you can talk about other things that interest you. AM broadcast, band DXing, shortwave, scanners, satellite dishes, military aircraft, all that fun stuff. We also talk about what equipment you can use to tune in those frequencies, who's on the various channels, what they mean by various code words and sayings, what's available for you in print material, what's available on the internet, anything to help to make it more enjoyable for you and less confusing. We have some basic ground rules for the net. One, this is a linked repeater system. So you have to wait for all the different links to fall into place, which is why a very common procedure to make sure that you do not get cut off in the beginning is to press your push-to-talk button, pause for a second or two, and then start talking. All of the repeaters of the system can be found at the website www.n2row.net. Pick the repeater that's closest to where you are right now is way to be sure heard clearly. When you check in, please give your call sign, name, and location, and also indicate if you have any traffic for the net. And by traffic, we mean any comments or questions that you'd like to share with everyone else. If you don't have any comments or questions, just say no traffic. This way we know to go to the next person. If you're not able to get into the repeaters, either because of distance, technical difficulties, or you may not have your amateur radio license yet, and we can help you with that. You can participate by sending an email. The email address is nydxa@yahoo.com. So at this point, we'll stand by to check in. Please space it out, just so we don't get people stepping on each other. This is N2NLB.
Good evening. WA2RQQ, Bob, in Elmwood Park. No traffic at the moment. We'll probably have some email, and hopefully they've corrected the 2-meter problem there, Charlie, with VHF. Unfortunately, I was not able to get the radio reprogrammed to use the UHF link, so I hope I'm not going to be hanging up the receiver again. If I am, well, we'll try to keep my comments to a minimum.
WA2OKZ, Ken in Cranford, no track.
Okay, so wait. The query and information.
WBQSDK. N2NLV here is WB2SDK, no traffic golf.
To NOV.
is KZ2, VXN1 in Staten Island. No traffic.
N2NOV. This is November 2, Sierra Charlie Romeo Jim in Aberdeen. No traffic. Okay, a couple of noisy transmissions in there. So far I have WA2SQQ, WA2OKZ. The third one sounded like K2ATF, that was trying to get. WB2KTV, WB2SDT, KC2PXN, and N2SCR.
Hi, Charlie, K2ATF, Todd, Brooklyn, am I making it now?
Yep, better than before.
I'll be standing by when I get to me. Thanks.
This is K0NYC, Steve in Queens. No traffic, just supporting the net.
KC2QDR, Queens, no traffic.
This is. And 1MLZ, Bob in Milford, Connecticut. Good evening, Charlie. No traffic right now.
KC2JRH, Anthony in Brooklyn with traffic.
K2LZ, Lazaro, Staten Island, no traffic.
Okay, additionally we have FN2SCR, K0NYC, K2QDR, George, welcome to the net. N1MLZ, KC2JRH, and K2LAZ. Anybody else?
Super VT, Brooklyn, name is Eva.
Oh, I'm not sure if you mentioned my call or not, WH1SQQ. Did you get me?
You were the first one on the list, Bob. The one that was KC2RVT.
KC2Romeo Victor Tango, correct.
No, okay. Heavy traffic.
Know what that means yet. I'm still kind of new here, so sorry about that.
No problem. Okay, anybody else? Okay, again, if you're not able to get into the repeater for whatever reason, you can still participate by email, nybxa@yahoo.com. That's also the email address to use if you'd like to be put on our mailing list, as we have late-breaking stories, frequency lists, and all sorts of information that comes through periodically throughout the week. So you want to be on that list to get the information, just like everybody else does. Especially if you're shortwave listening, we had a pile of winter schedules for the shortwave broadcasts going out over the past 2 weeks. Some good stuff in there. Okay, let's start off with Bob. And again, if you're not able to get in, use the email address. Bob will check it periodically throughout the net. So, W2SQQ, you're up first. That's one of me.
Hey, very good. Good evening to everybody. WA2SQQ, my name is Bob, and we're located in Elmwood Park. No questions have come in yet. Joe Rawlinson is checking in via email, but I did receive an email which is quite interesting. One of our people that listens sent it in. About a year or two ago, I think we may have mentioned that there is a 4-CD set available of the HF number station recordings. These number stations have been around for years, and you tune them in on the shortwave bands, and most of the stations are nothing more than a male or a female voice just reciting groups of numbers, and their purpose and their whereabouts have remained a mystery for many, many years, and there's been many theories as to what they really are. So these CDs were available, I think, from a source in Europe, but they were kind of expensive, and unless you were a real hardcore HF listener, I don't think many people would have bought them. I don't think Tower Records would have had them on their top 100 list. It turns out that the group that was selling these CDs has now made them available for public download, along with a booklet in PDF form. So you can download any one of them or all of them and burn your own CD. The website is at http://irdial.hyperreal, that's hyperreal.org. I'll repeat that. So irdial.hyperreal, that's one word, hyperreal.org. I just looked at the page right now and haven't sampled it, but there's really, it looks to be hundreds of individual recordings. So it might be worthwhile taking a look at and listening and creating these CDs if you are interested in what the number stations are all about. First thing that I'm going to try and put together here, had an indirect check-in from someone that I met on another discussion group who lives in the Ridgefield Park area, and happened to see my email and wanted to know if I was at all in any way involved in radio scanning, and bounced a few emails back and forth and told him I was. And it turns out that he's mainly interested in listening to just his local area and wanted to know how to monitor public service. Public service is a trunk group, 900 meg, which to monitor efficiently, you need a trunk radio scanner. And I got to thinking about it, and I said, well, if you're just listening to random traffic, you could also listen to public service by programming in all of their frequencies. One of the frequencies would be a data channel, which you would just lock out, and then you can sit there and just simply monitor the traffic as it comes by. I'm going to try and put together a list of those frequencies. I'll look on a few websites and see if I can pin them down real quick, or maybe you know where they already are, Charlie. And a little bit later on, the net will mention those frequencies. So if anyone wants to listen on a conventional scanner, you'll be able to do it. Moment, no other emails. I'll be watching the email. I'll check in here, and we'll get back to you in a few. And to one of these, WA2SQQ.
Well, PSE&G, Public Service Electric and Gas, is a Motorola Type 2 system, and they have 20 frequencies. I have to listen to my Palm Pilot. If you want me to read them off now, Bob.
I'll tell you what, why don't we wait a little bit, in case anybody's listening and they want to get a tape recorder or they don't have a pencil and paper. So maybe after the first round of check-ins, you can go through those. And this way, it'll allow people listening some time to prepare.
Okay, no problem. All right, let's see. Todd, K2ATF, you had a question, I believe. And 1020.
Good evening to everyone on the net, K2ACF. How am I making the repeater there, Charlie? No problem at all. Got info, maybe it's old news, and then I have a query and a half. Regarding MTA buses, I stumbled upon one of their fiscal year. It was dated June 8, 2005. They were proposing to revamp their bus communications, radios, supervisors, the consoles, and install data channels. Is this going to affect what we're listening to now, if you know, or is this going to be a digital system, or is it going to stay the way it is and just upgrade?
Well, I know they were concerned with this revamping, that they would have to change some of their frequencies around. So I guess they look forward to the opportunity that if they can, you know, revamp their system and make it, you know, more flexible, more talk groups, you know, may as well do it all in one shot. But I haven't seen the document. Is it available in PDF format?
You type in MCA bus, new bus radios, it'll come up on Yahoo, and you'll just see it down there. It's a PDF file. It's a whole list, you know, with like train stations that they have for the fiscal year, etc. Now, with this rebanding, is that going to affect like the DeWitt system with those talk groups?
Nextel needs to put all their stuff together between 862 and 869 megahertz. Any public service agencies that are in that area have to move down. And there's a middle ground where they may or may not have to, depends on where the frequency drops. Now, it was supposed to have all started already, but Nextel's been hemming and hawing and dragging their feet and crying that they're broke and can't do anything. Now, some parts of the country have already been doing it on their own, but around here, I haven't noticed anything that, you know, we've been used to listening, switching over yet. But I would think that if I was running a radio system for an agency, and we were going to be reprogramming the radios anyway, it's a perfect opportunity to clean house. You know, to make things the way we want it to be. You know, after having it one particular way for the past 10, 15 years, I'm sure there are ways that they would like to improve it.
I was reading up on one of the sites. They made mention that any scanners like the Pro 97 from Radio Shack, etc. I was just wondering now if this is going to affect the DeWitt system so groups. It sounds like it probably will, and then the scanner is going to be obsolete, and then I'll have to go into another one.
Well, when they do this rebanding, what they're also going to wind up doing is relabeling in the Motorola lookup table what frequency is what channel number. Okay, so even if something stays on the same frequency, the channel numbers are going to be called something different. So when the data channel says go to channel 342, well, what you're using is actually going to be something else, because they're going to be spaced 12 and a half kilohertz apart. And the scanner that you are going to be using needs to either already be set up for that lookup table, which there are none yet, or it has to be flash upgradable, which means you download computer code, a binary code, and load it into the scanner. Now, something like my Bearcat 780 or 245, you know, can't do that. It's not flash upgradable. Now you go to radioreference.com, Strong Signals. You can go to UNITED themselves, and they will give you a list of which of their radios are flash upgradable.
Last question. Concerning again DeWitt, when they do switch over from 800 to 400, is that going to be only the public safety aspect of it, or like New York City House, everything. Are they going to be going over to that new trunk system, or is it going to be strictly public safety? Somebody made mention that it was only public safety. I don't know if that's true or not.
Okay, nothing's been officially said yet, but based upon conversations that I had or overheard over the past 10 years, and yeah, I heard about this back in 1998, and they were complaining about having to carry three different Motorola Saber radios with them at OEM, because they would need to carry their 800s to their own operations, UHF to interface with the police department, EMS, and a VHF one to interface with the fire department on dispatch. So back then they were talking about having this Channel 16 project, which refers to the frequencies that were UHF Channel 16. And that's 482 to 488 megahertz. That, at that point in time, 10 years ago, the idea was to have this trunking system set up on UHF that would only be for first responder agencies. Now, whether they're still going to hold true to that, I don't know. It would make sense. This way, anybody in public safety only carries one UHF radio. This will be the time for fire department to move its dispatch operations up to UHF. They would be getting more channels than they have now, so they can break things out a little more logically. And this way you can leave the 800 system for things like the housing authority, sanitation, and DEP, and things like that.
Just what I got now was the forecasting system on the 400. Oh, is that the same format?
And as far as trunking formats, from what I understand, it's Motorola Type 2 with the ability to also do APCO 25. Also, the channel spacing will be tighter.
I'm from the same number, so won't hit me all at once. I've been eyeing them. They're up there in price, but if and when that time comes, I'll be prepared. All right, Charlie, thanks for the information. I appreciate it. That's always informative, and I'll be around. Talk to you guys later, and I got a pen and paper ready for that PSG stuff. I also live on the other side of the water. Take care, guys. 73-828-PM.
Okay, also, Todd, there's a rumor that the 400 megahertz trunking system for New York City first responders is supposed to go live in March. I don't know how accurate that is, but that's what I heard last week.
Oh, I'm going to be doing plenty of overtime, that's for sure.
Yeah, so if somebody wants to think about a radio that does the narrow step, narrow FM, APCO 25, trunking. Best to start putting those pictures around the house now to give your family members a hint that that's what you want this year for Christmas. And see what happens, right? Okay, next up on the list, Steve in Manhattan, WB2KTV, N2NLB.
I turn over the internet, Steve at WB2KTV. Well, Charlie, you segued into my questions perfectly with the mention of hinge dropping and radio selection. I'm currently looking to upgrade in the handheld market, and I'm looking at the three most popular ones now, the GRE, the Pro 97, and the 396, Univan 396. And I'm looking for, I've got pages and pages of features for all these radios, but what I really want to know is how well do they do what radios are supposed to do, namely receive transmissions. In other words, what's the sensitivity, what's the intermodulation distortion spec, signal to noise ratio, and all that sort of thing. I have yet to find a good source of information to compare these three radios, if anybody has one, that would be really great. I'm also looking for the location of a good internet location, I guess, for equipment swapping. I had an old PC-250 that I thought had the actual board in it that I sold someone, and it turns out it did not have the actual board in it. Now, to obtain one of those is like digging for gold in the middle of the Sahara Desert. You're probably not going to find it. But if anybody knows anybody who has a dead 250, that they would be willing to let go for parts, I would like to get a hold of one of those ASCO boards. Well, it's a good place to go to try and find one. And also, another interesting thing to think about, when TV goes digital in the next 18 months, I wonder if they're going to remove all the audio, clear channel audio, clear channel as in unencrypted, undigital, not clear channel as in clear channel communications, from the UHF channels that they now have. And I guess all our old PC radios are going to become obsolete. And are there any companies that are thinking about putting out new ones? At least you can't see back yet.
Well, in response to that last question about the switch to digital television transmission in 2009, once the station has switched over completely to their digital channel, so whether it be, you know, channel 45 for ABC, let's say, and they're going to drop their analog channel completely, so there will be no analog audio to listen to. It'll all be within the digital data stream. Will there be a purpose for those older radios that can tune in television audio? Well, first off, they're tuning in wide FM, 150 kilohertz wide. I doubt we're going to see any audio of that width in analog mode ever again once they do that. Even if the frequencies are reallocated to things like public service agencies, just like England does. You know, England takes the 66 to 88 megahertz band and has switched that over to, you know, the local taxi cabs and plumbers and fire engines and stuff like that. So 150 kilohertz wide FM is not going to do you any good. I have a feeling that if they do that here in the States, it's going to wind up being digital transmission. Either APCO 25 or the stuff that Motorola is pushing that's similar to Tetra. Will they actually flip the switch on one particular date? Well, that's the goal. I'm sure you're going to get some foot dragging from some station saying, we're not ready, we need more time. But we'll have another year. As far as the average person is concerned, we've talked about this on many nets, the actual percentage of people who are still using over-the-air rabbit ears or rooftop antenna analog is a small percentage. So for those people, the government is supposed to have a voucher program that they can apply towards a set-top converter box. And as time goes by and the volume of them is produced, the actual cost per box should be down low enough that that voucher is basically going to pay for the box outright. You know, for your old Aunt Tilly who's got a rabbit ears TV and, you know, doesn't want to pay for cable or satellite, well, that's the route she's going to have to take if she wants to watch TV. As far as the APCO 25 digital board for that Bearcat 250 scanner, that handheld scanner that you sold, yeah, they are like hen's teeth. Not everybody got them. A lot of them were sold without the digital card in it. That was another $250 option. I would suggest checking on eBay or the radio reference message boards or the people on Strong Signal. And in fact, those are the two places, radio reference and Strong Signal, that you should be able to get some real-world information about those three models and standards that you're considering. You know, the printed specs are one thing. You get those from the manufacturer, it doesn't really hold up. You have to find somebody who actually has it and has the test equipment to test it considerably. Not just some guy in the middle of, you know, a farmland commuting in Tennessee saying, oh yeah, I got the standard, sounds great. Well, that doesn't say anything about it. It doesn't verify what the specs are. Now, there are some guys who actually put things through the paces. And that may take a little bit of time. Between articles and monitoring times, and a couple other magazines, or you find people like Mike Agner, and those guys over on Strobe Signals and Radio Reference, you know, give them the chance to get the equipment in their hands and actually run it through its paces, and then you'll be able to find out from them exactly what's what.
Yeah, Roger, I was actually hoping that you had one of those references that you could pass it on. All right, I'm going to have to start my own speed marketing campaign and figure out just what to do. And I actually did have another question. I've asked this once before, and I've forgotten what you said, or I didn't get an answer. I don't remember which. It was a long time ago. What can you do if you want to track down the frequency of a radio service that you know nothing about? You don't know its call sign would be easy, but you just know it as, for lack of a better name, Pete's Pizza on the corner that has radios, and you want to find out where they are, and of course you can go scanning for them, but the likelihood of getting Pete's Pizza all day long is pretty low, but you want to find out what frequency they are, would you go to look them up by business name, or is there even such a place? I've run into a taxi service that I want to listen to, and I know them as one name. They answer the telephone as another name, and you can look them up, and you can connect to them through 1-800-TELL-ME as a third name. Excuse me, I'm very confused.
Go ahead.
Okay, it looks like the links went down for a second. But I got the gist of your question, Steve. If you are lucky enough to hit upon the right name of the licensee holder, you can go to the FCC's website and just search by that name. Or if you happen to know the frequency, but not sure exactly who's on it, again, the same thing. But in the case of, like you said, local pizza place that you know they're using radios but you don't know where they are, your best bet is a frequency counter. Just sit outside their establishment when they key up the radio, read the frequency, and then go to the FCC website, look up that frequency for that location, and something should pop. Now, if it's a frequency that's of one of the, you know, splitter channels, you know, could be an FRS channel, could be an old business band, green dot, blue dot, whatever channel, then, you know, there is no license for that. But also, they could be renting time off of a repeater system, either conventional or LPR trunk, and the license would be in the name of the company who's running the system, not the individual users. So again, you'd have to do some back channel investigation. So if you got a frequency 470-241-25 and it sounds like an LPR trunk system because I hear this periodic burst every 10 seconds of noise, that's the system, you know, reaching out to its users. I look it up in the database and it says it belongs to such and such a company. All right, you solve half the problem. You know they're on the trunk system. Here are the other frequencies of the trunk system. Now it's just a matter of trying to figure out what talk groups have been assigned to that particular company. NYDXA@yahoo.com.
QJHR Mobile Manhattan, good evening. Checking into the late check-in. No traffic supporting your net.
Okay, this is the beginning part of that call sign. Can you repeat, please?
Call sign is Flow 2 Juliet Hotel Romeo. K2JHR Mobile, Manhattan. Good evening, with no traffic supporting the net.
K2JHR, welcome again. Okay, anybody else? The reason why I said welcome again to him was Monday night we had the New York City Amateur Radio Emergency Communication Service app on this frequency at 8:30. Okay, let's continue with the list. Pete, WB2SGT, you're up next. And 108.
And 210Z, here is WB2SGT. I just want to make a comment about the Advanced Selection Television Committee certificate. We don't know how this is going to work. It's going to come from the auction. Every person can apply for $240 certificate. The problem is the decoders are not available. So we'll see. But the acceleration of equipment has a really limited time. The acceleration of equipment available has already eliminated the old NFTV. I'm ready to drop dead. I'm working 6 days a week. The bottom line is everybody's going to get an opportunity to get a certificate for a decoder, box, receiver, if and when they make them.
The auction that he's referring to as far as government getting the money to pay for the subsidy of course, these converter boxes. The auction is in January, and that's to auction off the spectrum in the 700 megahertz band. Actually, UHF television channels 52 through 69. That's the 700 meg stuff you've been hearing thrown about for the past few years. And yes, I know there are digital television allocations from 52 up to 60. They're going to have to move when that frequency then becomes available, unless they grandfathered in place. Nothing is ever set in stone, especially when it comes to the FCC. Okay, let's see. Next one that had traffic was Anthony, KQ2JRH, and Toronto Bay.
Sorry, can I just make a comment on those converters?
In probably
February, March time frame, there's going to be vouchers that are going to be available to the government. And each family will be entitled up to two vouchers. Each voucher is going to be worth, I believe, $40, and they're going to have to be used within a 30 or 60 day period from when they're issued. Will be able to use them to purchase one converter, and those converters, what I'm told, are going to be in the area of around $60. So that's the way it's going to work. But you'll start hearing about it more toward the end of January. Probably WHSQ.
WBQ.
WBQ,
excuse me.
The auction is a total value of $15 billion. How can anybody sell spectrum? What you're entitled to is $2 certificates per person. Problem is, the receiver decoders don't exist.
Beg to differ. I have samples of some of them that they will be there. They're not in production, but trust me, within 30 days I'll have them. They do exist.
You can go to Camping World and you can find one for $180.
I can't get into details, but trust me, they do exist. They've gone already through the final engineering samples, and it's a matter right now of getting them made. But you know, and I know that the Far East can turn stuff out very, very quickly. So I don't anticipate any problems. They do exist. The ones that are on the market now are not what you're going to be dealing with.
The Camping World offers this box that says, oh, you can get great new TV in your recreational vehicle. No doubt. But nobody's going to pay $180 because you can go to Walmart and buy an old TV set for $130.
We've had this conversation. You're looking at what exists today. What exists today is not what they're going to be using. This is something that's been in the planning for the last 2 years, so you're not, the whole idea here is that they're not bought and have to buy new TVs. Your VCRs and your TVs will not be obsolete. If you have cable TV, they're still going to deliver an analog signal to you. The majority of people, I think, I don't know, I keep seeing different numbers, but anywhere between 10 and 20% of the New York metropolitan area still use off the air. And those are the people that are going to be looking at these converters. The people with cable TV, it's going to be a transparent shift. A lot of them won't even notice it happens.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt in what you're saying. But broadcasters still
have to obey FCC laws. And until such time as it eliminates radio and television transmission, and the only way to get TV is off cable or internet, they're going to have to comply.
Time will tell, you'll see. It's not going to be the nightmare that you're making it out to be. I wish I could get into more detail. I can't, but it's in the industry that I work in, so I'm seeing it day by day, and monthly meetings, and all kinds of stuff, and it was one of the topics that I was involved in on my recent trip to Japan, so trust me, it's all going to work. All the major consumer electronic companies are ready for this, and justifiably so, because there's a lot of money yet to be made there. Charlie, back to you.
Okay. Anthony, can you generate to go ahead with your traffic?
.975, .975, and .975.
And in 939, there's only one channel, it's 939 even. 939.000. Okay, so those are all the frequencies that PSA&G uses on their Motorola Type 2 system. If you have a tongue tracking scanner, set up as Motorola Type 2, pop these in, and start taking notes on what you hear on different talk groups. I think some of them have been identified, they're on RadioReference.com. But if you don't have a tongue tracking scanner, just put them in, turn the delays off, and lock out the data channel. And just let it rip. Sometimes you'll hear telephone interconnects. Sometimes it's going to be gas crews, sometimes it's going to be electric crews, some underground, some above ground, some general maintenance people. You know, they have different things on that system. Okay, Bob, let's just check on the email. Do we have anything in there before we wrap it up?
Nothing, Charlie. Let me just do a refresh on here, make sure that I haven't seen anything that came in here in the last few minutes. I'm just trying to look over here to see what's going on. DX tuners, by the way, there's some information here that we're going to have to go over, but the DX tuners was a website where you had remote-controlled receivers all over the world that you could access from the Internet. That group kind of folded and went by the wayside, and it looks like they are now trying to revive it. They're looking for people that are willing to have a receiver that people can remotely access. So perhaps that would work. I played with that last winter, and it was really very, very interesting to be able to connect to a receiver, you know, up in northern Norway or somewhere like that, and just DXDAM broadcast band to see what stations you can hear from that part of the world. So this may evolve into something again. 7-3, thanks for everybody checking in, and we'll see you all next week. 7-3-8-2-S-T-2.
Okay, thanks, Bob, and if there's nothing else, we'll say 7-3 to everybody, and we'll catch you next week. This is the time of year to spend your time on shortwave broadcast listening and AM broadcast band. These longer, darker nights, and less chance of static from lightning crashes will make it the best time that you have available to you in an average year to be listening to the weaker stations. I know it's going to be tough on the AM broadcast band because of some of the changes they've done as far as allowing lower powered stations to sit on clear channel and regional channel frequencies that you used to using to pick up stations in other parts of the country. But, you know, try your best. The clear channel, not clear channel, the Citadel group of radio stations recently pulled back their use of IBOC at night, so that should help a little bit. Okay, let us know what you hear. I have a list of different AM broadcast stations that I've heard here in the New York area on my website. Go to n2nob.net, go about halfway down, you'll see the listing for AM broadcast band stations heard, and compare it to what you hear. If you hear something different, you know, let me know, and we'll update the list. All right, catch you next week, and one will be clear. N2NOB, who was that?
KC2NTU.
Hey, Gary. Gotta pick up your audio a little bit.
guys talking all day at work, so I just am trying to save my voice a bit. Where'd you get the two emails I sent you?
The printed one I forwarded to Joanne to be put into the critique book.
Okay. I mean, I was trying not to be too raggy and too long-winded, but just taking a look at everything that has happened in 3 years. So I've been there, and every change that we've had at that with the organizing people. Maybe we'd actually read it one of these days.
No, there were some good points in there, so you know, that's why I felt that she needed to read that. And, you know, as she's got things wound down over there, I'll sit down and go over some of the points in there. No, that's fine. Don't worry about it. You know, you are just showing what you observed and suggestions on how it could be done better. I mean, that's what a critique is.
How's everything else going?
Yeah, it's going okay. You know, just catching up on things. You know, now that event season is over, I can catch up on a few things. I'm going to have to get some data to you for updating those slides that we did last year.
Okay, Charlie, do me a favor, stop reaching into my brain and taking my next question out.
Me?
Yeah, Jack, I was just cleaning up because I had cleaned up the computer and I found all my master stuff from last year. And I was thinking, I could even do a this time last year to this time this year comparison by some of the cool new transitions.
Yeah, that's what I was going to be asking for. This way we see year-to-year trends as well.
Yeah, I mean, I can do that because if I remember correctly, I should still have all the raw files available, so it would be pretty cool, especially with the new keynote. Now, where do you think you're holding the meeting this year? That's only one question.
Well, I'm going to check with Frank to see if the location is still available from last year. If not, then we...